so now for something completely different. So actually you might think, so first of all, thanks for letting me speak here. My name is Markus Vogel. I'm working for a small research institute called European Academy of Technology and Innovation Assessment in Germany. And so you might think that this is about image processing, but in fact it's not. Okay, so what is morphological analysis as I am speaking here about it? It's a qualitative method for building a model and for structuring complex problems. And when I say building a model, I don't necessarily mean a well-defined mathematical model, but rather it's rather the very first step of approaching a problem when it's not clearly defined yet. Maybe it's not even clear what the problem is, and you want to bring some structure into that. And it's especially useful for building scenarios, especially if those scenarios involve society and people and some rather unpredictable things or large uncertainties. And to quote the inventor of the method, it's simply an ordered way of looking at things. The method is very flexible in general, can apply it to almost anything. That's why it's also called the general morphological analysis. So to make it even clearer, so what morphological analysis is not, it's not a very specialized theory. In some fields like biology, geology, and linguistics, where this term also exists. It's also not mathematical morphology as it's used in image processing. For example, there are those two packages on CRAN that are devoted to this, but it's unrelated. Okay, to give some credits. Morphological analysis was developed by this gentleman on this picture. It's a Swiss astrophysicist, Fritz Zwicky. He contributed quite a few things to astrophysics, but what is probably not so much known is that he also invented this morphological analysis method. He even founded a society, so he worked at Caltech, and he founded a society to advance morphological analysis studies. But it seems that this fell into oblivion after his death, and somehow was never widely adopted. However, in the 1990s, a group of people in Sweden, they rediscovered this method and started using it. They also developed a software especially for helping people performing morphological analysis. They use it in consultancy work with policymakers or strategists. And so they perform workshops with a team of subject matter experts where they use this method. Okay, so what is it all about? The idea is actually rather simple. There are two components in the morphological analysis. One is the morphological field, which is simply put a table. It's a tabular display of the problem space. So instead of putting the dimensions of the problem rectangular to each other, where you can only visualize three dimensions, you put them parallel to each other, so each parameter becomes a column. So when you do the morphological analysis, the first step is to come up with all the columns which represent the parameters or dimensions of the problem. So you have to, if you do it right, then it forces you to think about the problem and come up with all the relevant parameters, and you write them down, so the column headers, and then afterwards you look at each parameter separately and think about all the different values that the parameter can assume. So you look at each parameter separately so that you get the complete picture, so that you get the full range of values that the parameter can have. And so because you have to put it into a table, it has to be by definition categorical. It can be numerical, but it must be categorical. The next step is that you use this morphological field and you do a pairwise check of all the values, and you check all the values with all other values for consistency. So you think about if they are consistent with each other or not, and the result is written into a matrix, a half-sided matrix, and using this matrix called the cross-consistency matrix, you can then derive the consistent parameter combinations that you can have. So actually what you're doing is writing down the morphological field, spans the full problem space of your problem, and by doing these crosswise consistency checks, you can reduce the problem space. And the advantage is so if you would like check every possible parameter combination that exists, then it can be a very large number. Imagine you have maybe 10 parameters and each has 10 values. That would be 10 to the power of 10 combinations, and it's just impossible to check all of those. But if you do only the pairwise comparison, then it's a much more handleable number. So so you don't have the product of the number of parameter values, but only this sum. And this is how it can look like, this cross consistency matrix. So you have the parameter A, B, C, and maybe I can show it here. Parameter A, B, C here on the top, and then you compare parameter A with parameter B, C, D, and so on. And you make a check if you think that they are consistent, and not if they are not. Okay, now there comes R into play. So I told you already there exists this software developed by this Swedish group, for example Tom Ritchie, but it's not you cannot use it in R. It's just a Windows application, and also you cannot even buy it from them. You can only buy the service of them using the software. So my idea was to bring morphological analysis to the R ecosystem, and also make it available platform independent and open source, and also enable morphological analysis on the web, for example, for use with distributed teams. And how I implemented is using RStudio's DT package, which is an HTML widget using the JavaScript library data tables, and I'm using Shiny to provide interactivity. You can install a morphological field using the function install morph field. And installation as usual in R is very simple. You can, with DevTools, install it from my GitHub account. And then you can use it, for example, like this. So if you have a very simple morphological field, you can write down the parameters. So here we have parameter A with A1 to A4 and parameter B and C. And then when it's a very simple morphological field, it might be easier to not define the full CCM matrix, but only the consistent configurations. But as I told you, when you have a large field, then the number of configurations is just very high. But you have the flexibility to use one or the other. And then you create a Shiny app with this. So in the UI, you put the morph field output, and in the server you install the morph field. And maybe I didn't explain it here enough. So here, this is a list of configurations. So this the first three lines is the first one. So you have parameter A1 shall be consistent with B2 and B3 and with C1, and A2 with B4 and C2, and so on. And now we can look at the result. And what you get is the morphological field as an interactive table. So when you click here, so you're selecting one parameter, then those that are consistent with the selection are highlighted with color. So you see, as we defined, A1 is consistent with B2, B3, and C1, and A2 is consistent with B4 and C2, and so on. And how you can use this is, so for example, in the research projects I'm working on, we define scenarios and we visualize them using this. So the first parameter would list the scenario. So we have scenario 1, 2, 3, 4, and then all the other columns are the parameters of the scenario. So you can go through and see which scenario includes which parameter values. And the nice thing is you can also turn this around. So if you want to see which scenario includes parameter B4, then you can click on B4, and you see, okay, scenario 2 has this parameter selection. Okay, so you can also edit the morphological field interactively when you use this argument editable is true. And then you have this toolbar here, you can make it editable. And here I can, for example, click on A1 and remove it. I can add an item or I can click on it and rename it to something else. And of course, I can also add a column, which is empty, of course, and then I add an item there. And I can also edit those consistent configurations. When I click on Edit Configurations, I can now make a selection here that shall be consistent. I click on Save Configuration and exit the edit mode, and now you see that this was saved. And yeah, this is now the only configuration, of course. Okay, so if you are still not convinced why this can be useful, I try to come up with a more complex example. So for example, because I'm working on projects on analyzing the energy system, I put it into this context. So here I have a morphological field, which is visualizing a system of energy supply. So the first five columns are devoted to electricity supply, but we also have the heating and transport sector. And here we have one special column, which is giving you the greenhouse gas emissions per capita resulting from this energy supply system. Okay, so let's now play with this field a bit. So for example, what would happen if we, so we have this, these percentages numbers here, and this stands for the possible potential. So 100% would mean that we would install 100% of the potential that is technically there. So what would happen if we would install 100% photovoltaics on rooftops? That would be quite nice. So we get from the status quo emissions, which is here, we can get down into this region already, only by installing the photovoltaics, so not including other things. The photovoltaics on free field are not that effective. The potentials are not high enough, so it doesn't have any effect on the greenhouse gas emissions, as you see, and also for biogas. But if we would go with wind power, then we have the potential to get it down to really low carbon emission. So now let's turn to the other columns here. For example, electrical storage. If we apply no electrical storage, then it's not consistent anymore. So it tells us that, okay, 100% wind power is nice, but we don't become low carbon without a way to store the electricity. If we were to install small capacity, that would also not be enough. We would really need the large scale capacity here. And in the heating sector, if we would keep it like it's now, which is almost 100% fossil, then again, we don't become CO2 neutral. If we use some alternatives, that would work already. And here in the transport sector, as it's now 100% fossil fueled, no way. 50% fossil, it's also not enough, because transport is just giving you too high emissions. So you have to go down to about 20% fossil, and also fewer and smaller cars. This is how you can do it. Okay, so just one illustrative example. Please don't take it as being the truth or something. I just came from my personal experience. Okay, so I'm basically through. Okay, so Outlook. So the package Morpher is actually still in a pretty early stage. I looked back in my history of Git commits, and it turns out I started in mid-February, and then I worked on it until end of March, but then for 2 months I had no time at all to work on it, and in June I started again and added this field editing functionality. But what is still missing is you cannot at this stage view the cross consistency matrix itself. It's calculated internally, but I haven't implemented a nice visualization of it, and also you cannot edit the CCM interactively. So I would like to add at least this functionality, because then you can really start doing a full-blown morphological analysis with the package. So I hope that maybe some people find this helpful, I think it's pretty interesting. It's if it's nothing else, then at least it's a new visualization method, and it can be useful for structuring problems. So the code is on my GitHub account here, and I also put the slides there. So if you want to take a look, you can have. And so feel free to contribute and also ask questions now or later.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Marcus. Questions? Yeah. Questions or comments?
I'm picturing a case where in some of my data sets I have maybe 1,000 levels of a categorical variable and then maybe 1,000 of another. So I actually have data set larger than that. It seems that this would still work for that. And by the way, there are further columns that shrink, but they're important. Can you picture a way where you could like collapse? Because let's say that you chose column or level 1,000 down here, but it was associated with something way up at the top.
Yeah,
did you understand what I'm saying?
I don't know if you, so do you, would you want to really put this into the visualization, the 1,000 rows?
Because yes, this
unwieldy, I think.
this makes perfect sense for what I'm thinking. The only problem is that it's really vertical. I mean, it's
yes,
high dimension.
I don't know. I have no idea how this, I mean, with 1,000 rows or 1,000 columns, it's just not possible to put it in a way that it's presentable. But of course, you can always aggregate. So you can, like, for example, make a binning or something. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Ah, so you mean like kind of hiding all the rows that are not insignificant at the moment? Yeah. Okay. You can think about that if you want to extend the package in this way. Feel free. Yeah. Okay.